1 Kings 21, the Bible says in verse number 1, it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Now I want to preach on this title. I kind of stole the title. I'll explain it to you in just a minute. But I want to preach on this thought this morning. Payday someday. Payday someday. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless the message this morning? Holy Spirit of God, I pray that this will not just be another meeting where we could say we went to church, but I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that this will be a meeting where there'll be many of us in here that say the Spirit of God met with me and knocked at my heart's door. And God, in a world of compromise, in a world where Christians are giving up and giving in to the world, a world where Christians are wanting to just fit in with those around them, live like the devil, and just come to church on Sunday and act different. In a world today where churches are compromising and preachers have no backbone, I pray there'd be a group of people in this church that would say, I realize that it's going to be worth it all to live for Christ. And I pray you'd help us to see that payday's coming. Bless today, I pray, if someone's lost without Christ, I pray, God, that you'd knock on their heart's door, help them to know how much you love them and want them to be saved. And God, I pray they'll not leave here today without trusting Christ as their personal Savior. And we'll be careful to thank you and give you all the praise for all you'll do. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. There was a preacher years ago by the name of Dr. R.G. Lee. R.G. Lee was a preacher who lived from 1886 all the way up until 1978. I guess that would be in his 90s. For many years, R.G. Lee pastored the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. He was a pastor there from 1927 to 1960. R.G. Lee was probably most known for a sermon that he preached, the title that I borrowed today, Payday Someday. In his sermon on Payday Someday, he tells the story of our passage. It's a lengthy sermon. You can find it online. In fact, he has that old southern accent, Payday Someday, Payday Someday. And he preached that message. And most of the videos that you find online, that meant now an average message, normally was about 45 minutes. His message about an hour and 15 minutes. And it was like a script. It was like read all the way down. But they say that he preached that message, Payday Someday, over 1,200 times. I feel guilty if I preach the same thing three times. But he preached that message over 1,200 times. And that over 1 million people had heard that sermon. That was before the internet. And had heard that sermon, Payday Someday. In that message that the old preacher preached about payday someday, he told the story of this passage, and we'll see the story today, but he told the story of how one day payday came for Ahab, and how one day payday came for Jezebel, and his message was that payday someday will come for all of those that sin against God. You cannot sin against God and get away with it. You cannot live this life without accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, without the payday of the lake of fire and hell for eternity. You must be born again in this lifetime. The way I felt the Lord was leading me as He gave me thoughts for this message, I do want to borrow the title because I believe it's a title that will stick in your mind, but I want to borrow the title, but I want to tell a different story. I want to look more from Naboth's side of things than Ahab and Jezebel. There are three characters in this chapter. One would be Naboth. Naboth is seemingly An average Christian man that loves God and loves his family and is obedient to God and wants to please God in all that he does. And then there's Ahab. Ahab is the wicked, godless, and yet powerful king of Israel. And then there's Jezebel, his wife. You get a woman today who acts like a witch, a woman that causes trouble, and oftentimes people will use that name. They'll say, I tell you what, she's a Jezebel. Brother Glenn, you've dealt with some Jezebels pastoring over the years. And Dad, you dealt with some Jezebels over the years in pastoring. And I could list you some Jezebels that I've dealt with over the years. That is, in this passage, she is the wife of Ahab, and she's wicked, and she's manipulative, and she's cold and callous, and just a messed up woman. King Ahab owned lots of property. He's the king. He had lots of vineyards. He had pretty much anything that he wanted. But Naboth, this Christian man, owned, as far as we know, one vineyard, but it's a vineyard that King Ahab wanted. Now, Ahab didn't steal it from him. He wasn't attempting to steal it from him. Ahab was willing to trade. You give me that vineyard, I'll give you another vineyard. He said, if you don't want to trade for it, if you want to just sell it to me, I'll give you money for that piece of land, that vineyard that you own there. But Naboth said, no deal. Ahab went home. What a man. He went home and he laid on his bed and he cried and he wept like a baby. His wife was tougher than he was, but she was also wicked. So his wife Jezebel comes up with a demonic plan to have Naboth killed. Not to go convince him to sell or trade, to have him killed so that Ahab could take possession of Naboth's vineyard. Let's read the story and then we'll get into the message. In verse number 4, Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. What a baby. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, you can almost hear this, Ahab, the king, the powerful king. He answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. What a baby. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be married. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters. Don't want to get on that Clinton list. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast. And set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. So she comes up with this plan to have some witnesses lie about Naboth so that the people would kill him for blasphemy. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. I don't know about you. I can't stand a liar. I cannot stand a liar. By the way, neither can God. So they're lying. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. All it was this man had a piece of land that he didn't want to sell and he didn't want to trade, and he winds up dead. And it came to pass When Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that he popped his thumb out of his mouth. It says that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Now, some people might ask this. Why did he not just sell the vineyard or trade with the king? Was it really worth dying for? Well, in 1 Kings there in our text, in chapter 21, verse number 4, Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, Naboth said to Ahab, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. Ahab and Naboth were from different tribes in Israel. And Naboth, by saying that, see, here's the point, but we're going to get to the message in a minute. So hang on, it's introduction. Naboth wasn't just saying, hey, I don't want to sell. We've had folks around our property here that I've asked neighbors, can we buy some property? I don't really want to sell. And I get that. They just don't want to sell what they've worked for. And it wasn't Naboth just saying, I don't want your money. I'd rather have the land. I like the grapes. It's a good vineyard. Naboth was actually obeying the word of God. And here's the thing. He was willing to die for his convictions. Because God told the children of Israel, and we can, one place we read about it is in Numbers 36, but verse 7, listen to this. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel, listen, remove from tribe to tribe. He could not sell that to a different tribe. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. In other words, you don't sell out or trade for the world the things that have been passed down to you. Football game has four quarters, right? Brother JJ is on a good football team. He's a good football player. A football game has four quarters. I played football 7th grade through the 11th grade. And Brother JJ, when you get to the season, they're already practicing, but when you get to the season, and you get in that game, you get the first quarter, then the second, then halftime, and third and fourth. And at the end of the game, you're either winning and you're watching that clock thinking, man, we need that time to run out, or you're losing and you're thinking, we need some timeouts. We have an opportunity. We have a chance. But you can measure, right? When that game's over with, you can measure if you won or lost. You know, in four quarters, the decision's going to be made. Some of you are baseball fans. Brother Brandenburg played minor league baseball for the Baltimore Orioles years and years ago. And we're going to a baseball game in August. We're going to take them to a Baltimore Orioles and Rangers baseball game. But Brother Brandenburg, a baseball game is 9 innings. And so you know that 1 inning and 2 inning and 3 inning and 4 innings and five and six. I don't watch baseball on TV. I like to go to the ballpark if I go, because they have junk food there. But you know, right, that in 9 innings, unless it's tied, goes into extra innings, but you know basically that in 9 innings, someone's going to win the victory. When I was in school, I ran track, I ran the mile, I ran the hurdles, I ran, they called me George the Turtle, but I ran the mile and the 2 mile, I ran long distance, but you know that on a track, some of you in here have run track before, you know that on a mile, the goal is run 4 laps around that track, and when those 4 laps are up, you have run that mile. No one's going to add to it or take away from it. There's the end. There's the prize. The payoffs are measurable. 4 quarters, 9 innings, 4 laps. Now, you and I, as Christians, we live for Jesus with a finish line in mind. And though we cannot measure how far ahead the finish line is. Is it another week? Is it 10 more years? We cannot measure how far ahead the finish line is, but we live and we move and we run by faith in the fact that there is a finish line and there is a reward awaiting. We talked about the judgment seat of Christ several weeks ago now, and we realize that there is a prize awaiting. Now, just as there is a payday someday for sin in that other message, today I want us to remember that there is a payday someday for doing right. I was driving down the road, this has been probably 6-7 weeks ago now, and I was in that horrible Dallas-Fort Worth traffic, and had this person cut me off and cut everyone off, and I honked at him, kind of, you know, and they sent me some sign language I didn't appreciate, and you know, the man in me starts thinking, man, how can you know? Hey, but this actually came to mind 6 or 7 weeks ago. Payday someday. Don't get down on the world's level. Don't act like, anyone can go out and act like the world any old day. That doesn't take much of a man. Payday someday for doing right. Payday someday for staying faithful. Payday someday for making right choices. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. All right, the Bible in Hebrews 12 talks about a race that is setting before each one of us, and we're to run that race. And though we don't know when that race is going to end, it's not up to us to end it. It's not up to us to quit. It's up to us to stay faithful, realizing there is a payday someday. Philippians 3 says this in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and by the way, reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, this one thing I do, and then he mentions two things, because the only way we're going to reach forth is we're going to have to let go of the past. And we're going to have to do that at the same time and move forward by the grace of God. He said, I press, Brother JJ, he's our athlete, I guess, plays basketball also, and they have that full court press. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus said this in Revelation chapter 22 in verse number 12. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. So I want the adults in here to know, and I want the teenagers in here to know, and I want us to settle it in our hearts today. It is worth it to live for God. It is worth it to do right. It is worth it to live in obedience to God. It's worth it to live clean and live holy. It's worth it to serve the Lord. It's worth it to be a blessing. It's worth it to give my tithes and offerings. It's worth it to give my Sundays to God. Listen to me. The Lord's Day is not just Sunday morning. The Lord's Day is whole day. Would to God we get back to stopping all the extracurricular activities on Sunday and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Wouldn't it be something if every one of us started taking a stand at our job saying, I don't work Sundays? Wouldn't it be something if we started taking a stand in our family and say, we don't do family parties on Sundays, maybe Sunday afternoon, but I'm going back to church Sunday night. Wouldn't it be something if Christians started taking a stand in our town again and say, we don't do soccer, we don't do football, we don't do fishing, we don't do basketball, we don't do rodeo, we don't do skiing, we don't do those things on God's day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. You may not think it's worth it. I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it for the Creator, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Turn to Mark chapter number 10 with me, if you would. Mark chapter number 10. Look at Mark chapter number 10. I can guarantee you this. The world's got nothing to offer your kids. But God does. Mark chapter number 10. Had a family years ago. Good family, good people, nice people. Had three little kids. And they were faithful and they served the Lord, but the husband was a fisherman. And maybe you like to fish. My son Joshua likes to fish. He fishes about as often as he can in his room, and he smells like it. And if you've ever seen his truck. But this fellow, those bass tournaments would take place on Sundays. He'd say, Pastor, I'm not going to be there this Sunday. There's a bass tournament. I'd say, I don't think that's right. Well, you just don't understand the grace of God. Well, let's not turn the grace of God into just do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. And it's good family, but you know that family's never, over the past 15 years that I've known them, have been in several different churches. Why? Because they never put roots down and said, God first, God first, God first. Everything else, we're going to find a way to fit it. But God has to be first in our life. Mark chapter number 10, did I ask you to turn there? Mark chapter number 10, look at verse number 28. Verse number 28. I appreciate my brother, my younger brother. He's an outdoorsman. He does all sorts of stuff. He's a good dad, and he took his girls to the rodeo a couple nights ago. Sarah's like, I didn't know there was a rodeo in Fort Worth. I said, well, you need to get close to your Uncle Sean. Maybe y'all could go roll with all the girls and go to the rodeo. But Sean was in a bass tournament a few weeks ago with his daughter. It was a daddy-daughter fishing tournament. And you know what he didn't do? He didn't go on Sunday. Why is it just the church staff that it's so important that we show up on Sunday? Matthew chapter 10, look at Matthew chapter 10, verse number 34. I probably should look there too. I'm in Mark. Time for some new contacts. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now people think rough preaching doesn't belong, but y'all realize that's Christ saying right there, I'm come to put some wedges in some families. Well, you know, we just want to have peace. That's why we stay home with the grandkids on Sunday nights. God first. I realize things happen. I realize there are times and events and whatever. But look at it. Go on. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now, folks, we all would agree in here. The cross that Christ went to was not, there was nothing fun about it. There was nothing comfortable about it. And he says every Christian has to take up their own cross. And what we have is a crossless Christianity today. I want to live for God. I want the blessings of God. I want to share some spiritual memes online. As long as it costs me nothing. I wear what I want to wear. I go to church when I go to church. Music that I choose. Wherever I want to go. Whatever I want to do. Friend, that's not the God of the Bible. The Bible says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Well, what does that mean? Well, there's the crowd today that says, you know what? I'm living my life. I'm living my best life now. I'm going to do what I want to do. And there's a crowd who says, you know what? I'm going to lay aside what I could be doing to do what God wants me to do. And God's going to bless you for it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Payday, someday. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. We're struggling right now to get bus workers. And please don't come up with some half-hearted, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but some half-hearted, I just believe is what God wants if you hadn't even been church faithfully. But we're struggling to find bus workers right now. You know why? Because, Brother Trent, I don't have time to do that kind of stuff. Because I'm finding my life. This is my life. I like my Fridays. I like my Saturdays. I like my Sundays. I don't want to get up that early. I don't want to be on that bus. While the kids go to hell, we fix up our nice yards and we have our better houses and we do all our own thing. Because why? Because I'll serve God if everything works out exactly. I got it all in order. You say, preacher, that's mean preaching. I'm not preaching mean. It's time the church of God wakes up to the fact. Are you seeing the world around us? And yet most Christians today are half asleep. And I don't mean just in church. Some of you are that this morning. Payday's coming. for those that want to live for God, those that want to do right. Look over, I think I read you one passage and was supposed to read you the other passage, but look at Mark chapter 10. I think that's what confused me is I have Mark 10 and Matthew 10, so. Look at Mark 10, verse number 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Now listen, Peter never said a word. God knew his heart. He never asked a question. He just said, Lord, we've left all. Lord, you know Wednesday nights I could be mowing my yard, but I want to be in your house and I want my kids to be in church. Lord, you know, Sunday night could be family time. That's the way it's being promoted at a lot of churches these days. But I'm for family time, but I thought we had six other nights and days to have family time. And if we balance, but I'm thinking, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I just read a passage that said, if you love family more than me, you're not worthy of me. Is that right? And so Peter says, Lord, we've left all and followed you. So what Peter was saying, because the Lord knew his heart, was, what are we getting out of this deal? You ever looked at how much you give in tithes and offerings? A lot of people in here. You're like, man, could you imagine what that would buy? Could you imagine what that would pay for? Could you imagine? But here's the thing. I want to be obedient to God. And I realize that there is a payday someday if I obey God. Sundays are tiring for those that work and serve. And man, they're tiring. You get on those buses early in the morning and you get off late in the afternoon and it's not always a blessing of a cool day outside. And all summer long, these bus workers will work hard. And I didn't finish my thought a minute ago. We're looking for more bus workers. We have several that have quit. We have others that are going off to camp for the summer. I know the town right is hurting for some good, committed, faithful workers who will help visit and work. But man, we teach Sunday school classes. I think about Miss Sherry out there teaching a Sunday school class and teaching bus church. And I know she was at the hospital with her mother last night, but she made it in this morning. What a blessing that is. And you think, man, you know, if we weren't in our kind of church, we could get all this out of the way at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And by 10 o'clock, we could have the rest of our day and walk around telling people how much we love Jesus and even wear the t-shirt and put a few pictures online. But listen to me, friend, there's a payday someday. We're not to live for this world. We're to live for the Creator who created us for His good pleasure, not for ours. Amen. Young people, you got to keep that in mind. I thought about preaching. I'm preaching a youth conference in July, and I thought about preaching this, and I thought, well, honestly, and I'm not insulting young people, but honestly, the young people, biology tells us, the studies tell us, their brain, the part of their brain that tells them that there's a payment for what I'm about to do, this has consequences, it's not fully developed yet. You say, what does that mean? That's why teenagers do stupid stuff. Hey, you got your video on? Watch me jump off this roof. Why do you do that? Because that part of your brain that says this is about to hurt. You're going to break something. It's not fully developed yet. So I don't know, young people, where you are in your mental growth, but I wish you all could see there's a payday, because right now you say, my payday is fitting in with my buddies. My payday is being liked. My payday is that girl, or my payday is that guy. That's all shallow stuff. That's temporary stuff. But the young person, they don't just say, I'm in all the way. I'm in. There's a payday for it. Adults, we got to get to that place. You remember what the Lord told Peter? He said that Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter was already born again. He was already saved. And God told Peter, he said, the devil wants to bring out the worst in you. The devil wants to destroy your life. And Jesus said, but Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fell not. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on church. Don't give up on doing right. But he said, and when thou art converted, you know what that means? When you turn that corner. We sing it all the time in the invitation. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. no turning back. And there are a lot of folks in here today. You've been saved, but you haven't been converted. You have not got to that place where you said, you know what? Church is number one in our life because God is number one in our life. And Christ died for the church. And Christ is ahead of the church. And what's good for my family is church. And what's needful for my kids is church, is Sunday school, is children's church, is youth department. Because God knows what the world's throwing at them. That's not going to help. It's not going to happen if some moms and dads don't say, I'm in all the way. Peter said, you gotta read this. Mark chapter 10, Peter said, we've given everything. So what he's saying is, without saying it, what are we getting in return? Verse 29, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man. All right, so there's not a person that's going to escape payday here. There's no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. That missionary here tonight, he's going to leave lands. He's going to leave our country and go to another land for the gospel. Listen, I remember when we were little boys back in the 70s and we had that nice brick house and we had that Cutlass Supreme or Sierra, whatever it was back then. And man, we had the best bicycles and we had the this and the that. And man, we had it made. And then mom and dad got saved. You say, well, you can't have something. Oh, I believe you can have things. I believe you can manage your finances and so forth. But what happened is then dad got called to preach. And what became more important than a career and a 401k and a brick house is I know what God wants me to do. We wound up moving to a place that was just a little old house. So dad could get through Bible college and mom worked. And dad worked at night and mom worked to get dad through Bible college. And friend, that was 39 years ago. And we're coming up on the anniversary of this church. And we have what we have today. And I'm preaching today. And my older brother's preaching today. My younger brother is leading singing today at a church. And all 9 grandkids, by the grace of God, are in church today. Why? You think maybe because 40 years ago, 45 years ago, a mom and dad said, listen, it's time we get serious. There's a payday for being faithful to God. So Peter said, what do we get? Look at what the Lord says here. I love it. He says, but he shall receive an hundredfold. Are you looking at it? Is anybody in that chapter with me? Mark chapter 10. But he shall receive an hundredfold. Look at those next 4 words. Now in this time. We're not blindly saying, oh, sell all that you have and you can't have anything and there's a payday someday. We're going to walk on streets of gold. Well, that's true. I'll tell you what, God's dumped a good measure of blessing out on my life. Look at me here. We're Americans. Here's what we think the blessings are. Man, you must have a lot of money, preacher. No, I don't. You must have a nice house. Anybody can clean up your yard. Anybody can paint a wall. We live in a house from 1965. There's nothing wrong with having a brand new house. That's just not what we chose. We've chosen trips and memories over high mortgages and just comfortable at home. I'm comfortable there just because it's home. But the blessings of God, I couldn't begin to explain to you how God has blessed our life. Because we say, you know what? Sunday morning, the kids in all of their years, Sarah, you're 21, Joshua 17, never one day have they made a statement like this. Dad, are we going to church today or not? Never one Sunday night. What are we doing tonight? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We've made lots of memories. God's blessed our life. I love it. God says, I give it to you in this life. Houses and brethren and sisters. Who wants more sisters? But sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. He says, you can have some blessings in this life, but it's still this life at the end of the day. And in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last and the last first. And I think that's those people putting themselves first in this life. I'm saved, but I tell you what, it's about me. No, it's about him. payday in this life, paydays in heaven. There's guaranteed paydays ahead. So when the devil gets you down, when you start wondering if it's worth it to give, you start wondering if it's worth it to go to church, you start wondering if it's worth it to serve, you start wondering if it's worth it to be involved, you start wondering, is it worth it to be this busy? Just remember, keep this in your heart and mind. Payday someday. Payday someday. God will bless us in this life for being obedient. Certainly there's a judgment seat ahead and a payday. When you're mocked or misunderstood or maligned, when they call you crazy or part of a cult or an extreme Christian, just keep reminding yourself, payday someday, payday someday, payday someday. By the way, if I can go back to the other preacher's message, keep being unfaithful. Keep dabbling in sin. Keep teaching your kids God's not number one. There will be a payday someday, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but the devil's strong. I know Christian homes where mom and dad did it right, and still a child turned away from that. They could be born with a spiritual silver spoon in their mouth and still spit it out when they're 18, and mom and dad are left going, what did we do wrong? I don't know that you did anything wrong. I don't know that I did anything wrong, but I tell you, the devil is strong. Why would I as a parent dare to ride that fence of the world and Christianity? I'm just trying to help you. I believe we can understand why Naboth would rather die faithful than to live in compromise. Now, I'm going to give you these three thoughts really quickly here, and we'll be out on time. Why would Naboth rather die faithful than to live in compromise? Go back to 1 Kings chapter number 21. And I think these are some decisions we've got to make. 1 Kings 21. And by the way, every generation has to make the decision. It's not that, well, Carl and Liz Ogden in the 70s, you know, made that decision, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Well, guess what? In the 90s, Shane and Sean and myself and then our families had to make that decision, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And guess what Sarah has to do? And guess what Joshua has to do? And guess what Nathan and Devin and Caitlin and Taylor and Brianna and Savannah and Joanna? Aren't you proud? I remembered all the nieces and nephews. For 10 years, they were like, you, get out of my house. Guess what they have to do? Several of them have started graduating now. They have to decide. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All right, number one. 1 Kings 21, verse number 1. It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace, listen to this, of Ahab, king of Samaria. Number one is this. Naboth had a bigger king than the world's king. Naboth had a bigger king than the world's king. Here's the thing. We don't answer to the world. We don't owe the world an explanation. We don't live for the world. We don't have to make the world understand. We're not here to please the world. We're not to love the world. We're not to line up with the world. We're not to live according to the world's idea of what a Christian should be or what a Christian can get away with. We have one king, and the king is not the world. We have one king, and that king is Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Colossians 1 says about Christ that in all things He might have the preeminence, first place in our life. Hey, who's first place in your life? Are you the king? Well, I'll tell you what, it's my paycheck, it's my house, it's my stuff. Hate to tell you this, but the Bible says in Deuteronomy it's God that gives us power to get wealth. You could wake up unable to work tomorrow or go to school tomorrow. Revelation 4:11 says this about all of us. It says about the Lord, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. That's us. And for their own pleasure they were created. It says, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Secondly is this. Naboth had a broader purpose than the world's purpose. Why was he willing to die for a piece of land? Well, he had a bigger king than the world's king. But the Naboth had a broader purpose than the world's purpose. Look at verse 2 in that text. Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And listen, I will give thee for it a better vineyard. Or else if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Look, the world's purpose is, what better can I have in this life? How much more could I obtain in this life? We've lived in the same house for 23 years now. We have good neighbors. We have a good neighborhood. I like it. Most people in the neighborhood keep their yards clean. I just wish they keep their dogs out of my yard, but they keep their yards clean. It's a nice, quiet neighborhood. We all kind of watch out for one another. We don't just sit and have block parties, but we all, over the years, you know, we'll check on one another if there are issues or whatever. And, but we've got some neighbors, and man, I'm telling you what, their whole life is about their vehicles. And it's always a new vehicle. It's been very obvious over the years. It's like the whole family gets together to wash the truck. And I'm thinking, man, those kids were raised without church, were raised without Christ, were raised without God. Friend, listen, our purpose is way bigger than what the world's purpose is. The world's thought is, how much more can I obtain in this life? But a child of God's purpose is to live for Christ now, to enjoy the blessings that come now, endure the battles that come, but live faithfully until Jesus calls us home, because heaven is going to be far better than anything this whole wicked world could offer us. Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, "For to me to live is Christ." He said, "I'm crucified with Christ," to the Christians in Galatia. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And at Philippi, he said, "For to me to live is Christ." He said, I want to stay with you. He said, "To depart to be with Christ is far better." We've got to get a bigger purpose in our eyes than this day-to-day living. If we were to find out tomorrow morning that Russia had attacked Alaska, every man and most women in here, and some of you teenage boys, would say, "Hey, put me on a plane. I'll go stand my ground in Alaska. They ain't doing that to our country." You know you would do that. But yet, Brother Trent, and we're losing the battle with the local church. And I'm talking about young and old preachers. You can't get people to be faithful. Can't get people to get committed. Can't get people to get involved. And the devil's just taking them down. One, have you ever seen that movie or read that story about the USS Indianapolis that went down out there close to Japan, and the sharks were eating the soldiers? They were there for like 4 or 5 days. Go read about it during World War II. And it wasn't just the dehydration. It wasn't just the salt water that got them, but sharks were constantly taking them out. And friend, listen, as the devil continues to take out family after family, to the non-denominational church, to the don't stand for anything church, to the compromisers, to the recovering crowd and young people, the devil just one by one. And we've got a church that says, "Well, I don't even know if I'm going to be there on Wednesday nights. Tithe, vacation Bible school, youth camp, I don't know. What are the rules?" God help us. Let me ask you a question, because we have the same issue every year with folks who want to complain about certain dress at a youth activity or at a youth camp. Let me ask you a question. How holy is too holy? How separate is too separate? You mean the military can tell you what to wear, but a church can't? You mean a sports team can tell you you're not getting out here in that basketball shorts on a football field at a football game, but a church can? You mean Buc-ee's, who will pay you $20 an hour, can say, "Hey, you're not going to dress this way and that way," but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Let's be different in a world Amen. And parents, God help us. Naboth had a bigger king than the world's king. Naboth had a broader purpose than the world's purpose. And lastly, I believe that Naboth saw a better payday than the world's payday. In verse number 3, it said, Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me." He knew the payday for doing right would far, far outweigh the temporary pleasures of doing wrong. The things of this life will all pass away one day. Too many Christians today are living for now instead of living with heaven in mind. I don't have time to read it, but you could go read over there in Luke chapter number 12. When the fellow comes and says, "I've got all this stuff and I'm going to build me bigger barns and I'm going to have me more stuff." And God says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be?" And then God goes into this teaching on we're so wrapped up in what's the next bit of money I can make. What are the next clothes? What are the next groceries? How are we going to find the baby formula? How are we going to pay for the fuel? And God says this in Luke chapter 12, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's crazy out there right now, but you know what I'm going to keep doing? I'm going to keep raising my family in church. I'm going to keep taking my wife to church. I'm going to keep serving God by the grace of God. I don't want to quit on God. I get weary in the way, but I'm not weary of the way. I'm not tired of living for God. I'm not tired of doing right. We can have some fun on the side, but God's got to come first in your life. The old world's king said, "You sell me right now what I want." And Naboth said, "No, I can't do that." He was willing to die for it. And don't tell me you'd be willing to die for a Savior you're not willing to live for. Naboth had a bigger king than the world's king. Who's your king? Naboth had a broader purpose than the world's purpose. He wasn't just looking for the next set of land or the next bit of money. He said, "I want to be obedient to God, and I'll let God give me what he wants to give me in this life." But Naboth saw a better payday than the world's payday. Hey, it's worth it to live faithfully for Christ. At the end of Paul's life, he said, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Payday someday. Years ago now, in 2006, NFL Hall of Fame, Troy Aikman, same year Troy Aikman was put in the Hall of Fame, John Madden was put in the Hall of Fame. Most of you know who he is or was. He was an NFL coach. In John Madden's Hall of Fame speech, he made mention of this. He said, "You know, man, this is the ultimate." He said, I believe those busts at night, like it's Night of the Museum or something. He said, I believe that at night after everyone's locked up, that we talk to one another. Like the heads turn and talk to one another. And he said, the thing I love about the Hall of Fame is we will be in there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Now that building's going to melt away one day. Those busts are going to melt. I told you years ago, my dad and I went to the Hall of Fame. We were up in that area in Ohio, and I realized we were just about 20 minutes away. And I thought, man, the Hall of Fame, and I'm not kidding. It was this old building. It was dark in there. It was like this is the ultimate. This is like, boy, if I can get in that dark room, woo. I don't know about you. Sometimes I think, man, what else would I or could I have done in life? I see guys making tons of money. And I think, man, I don't know what could I have done there. Maybe a better house, maybe better kids. I mean, what could I have accomplished? But then the Holy Spirit brings me back to, no, wait a minute. You do exactly what God wants you to do. Let him bless you. In this life, yes. But there's a payday someday. You know, people, it's worth it to live for God. It's worth it to live for God. If no one else around you lives for God, you choose to live for God. It's worth it. Adults, it's worth it to live for God. Mom and dad, there's got to be a point in your life where you say, you know what? The preacher man's right. The word of God's right. We have got to get back to putting God number one. Let everything else fall in place.